there, the thing I guess I appreciate probably the most about this walk, one of the things, there's just so many things, it's in every part of our lives, and you really don't even think about it until you deliberately think about it. But not only what I'm about to say here, but this is the same thing that transitions into any place I go with these guys, Gary, Dave, Jim Martin. There is no ever sense of competition. We just don't even, it never even crosses our minds. It's all about Him and moving forward in Him. And so when we're asking Homer, what do you want to do tonight? He goes, it's just, you know, it's just the service. It's in, and that's how it is with Homer and I and all everybody. And we're all headed towards one purpose. That's the outpouring, because the bridegroom's coming back, and we're going to present something to Him that looks a whole lot like what He left, plus, because the last church is going to be greater than the former. And so we're building, and this week, teenagers, if you're here tonight, thank you for allowing us to be here. And Homer wanted me to say next Sunday night, he's going to be gone, and everybody else that normally would speak in his place is going to be gone with him. I think they're traveling to a graduation out of state, so there will be no service next Sunday night. Is that correct? Perfect. Hallelujah. How many of you enjoyed this morning? If you were here, you had to enjoy it. In just a moment, we're going to allow you to, or ask you to fellowship. Before you do that, would you begin to prepare in your heart? Now, this is what I tell our people that are here, because they have been taught line on line. It's not as important for you to give in every service. Now, if you want to give in every service, please do so. But what we want you to do is hear from God, because you that minister in the ministry of helps, you have the hearing ear. So it may be one offering this week, and that may be tonight if you're not able to be back the rest of the week. Or maybe God says, you know, this much every night. But what we want you to do, receive from Him. He has partitioned off a part of what you have available for this conference or for this time, and you'll know what is His, divide what is His, and determine that and give it this week at some portion of the next few days. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask the rest of you to pray and ask God what He'd have you to give tonight, and in just a moment we're going to fellowship a little bit, and you can meander up here if you have something to give, and just place it in. And then we're going to get ready to bring Gary on, because we really want to hear some more of what God has for us in the building blocks and where we're going. Let's pray together. Father, I love You. You've purposed way before we were ever created, not just in our existence, but before the dawn of man, You purposed these meetings. You saw humanity, You saw Christ, You saw 2012, and You saw a people that were earnest in saying, come, Lord Jesus. You saw people that were earnest in saying, we want to hear truth, so that it not only changes the academics of our personal life, but puts us in a position where we're able to receive the bridegroom. So I'm asking You tonight, once again, not only to touch our hearts and what is about to follow, but Father, right now, as we're listening, we receive direction and grace for giving in this offering. We bless You. We bless them as they receive that grace. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. If you make out a check, make it out to the Family Prayer Center. And, of course, they're going to get all of this. And throughout the week, these offerings will be the same. So, hallelujah. If you're ready, would you stand with me again? Take a few moments to fellowship. And if you do have something in your hand, please bring it up and drop it off. God bless you. What a powerful time this morning, and will be continuing throughout the week. We are so glad, grateful. What a special time to be born. What a special time to be hearing the word of the Lord. Would you welcome our good friend, Mr. Gary Carpenter, to the stage? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you very much. How many of you were not here this morning? I see your hands. Anyone that was not here this morning? Well, you need to be, that you weren't here? Do y'all like to get blessed? I think you, your eyes need a blessing. Sue, come right on up here for a minute. I want you to I'd like for Sue to introduce herself. As you can tell, the Lord loves me. He that finds a wife finds a good thing. I have found a good thing. All right, I'll be quiet. Go ahead.
Thank you, baby. Well, we're just so thankful that you guys allowed us to come to the young people's service. And you didn't say, no, you can't come. Who do you think you are? But we want to encourage all the young men and young women. Our country needs you so much. The kingdom of God needs you so
Amen.
Much.
Amen.
For all of your strength, your life force. Say it like that. Everything about your life, you are needed so desperately for your all that you are to be submitted to the Lordship of Jesus, for you to receive wisdom.
I love it.
I do too.
Family is noisy.
For you to get the wisdom that you need to operate supernaturally in this natural world, and to find out the authority that you have in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
So that you can affect the people that you have to deal with on a day-to-day basis, both friends and foes alike. And you will have a lot of foes, and in the sense of we have never seen the world like it is today, with more and more people listening to devils and doing what the devils tell them to do and acting in that manner, the way the devils tell them. Every thought that comes into your head does not proceed from yourself, and you really need to understand that. Really, you can be affected by devils just walking into a place. You can hear devils talking, the way that they're talking to the people that are there, that you're, and it doesn't have to be a bar, doesn't have to be a club.
It could be a church.
It can be a church. It can be somebody's home, the nicest people in the world, but you can go in there, and you can hear what those people are hearing from devils all the time. And they will talk to you. And the war that you fight every day will take knowing who you are, where you're from, and why you're here. And I that phrase that God used through Gary years ago has meant so much to our lives. In the things that God has taught us by His Holy Spirit ever since then. It's finding out who you've been made by the Lord Jesus Christ. Gary was telling you about the scriptures that He's made available through the website. It's taken us years because we could not receive everything at once, and you can't either, because you have a soul that has to deal with earthly things. And you have a mind that's not been totally renewed to the Word of God yet. And so when you find out who you've been made in Jesus, knowing the authority that you need to walk in, let's see, and learning how to use that authority every day of your life in all kinds of situations, knowing that Jesus won't be able to move unless somebody who believes Him will pray in His name. Because He will never go against somebody's will. You may be the only person that will come across that one lost person today that God will be able to speak to. I want you to pray for them right now. So religion will tell you you're not, it doesn't matter. You're just one person. You don't matter. The lies that come at you and bombard you are so many and so destructive. But if you will learn how to hear the Holy Spirit when He says pray, as you meet different people along your life, along the way, give Jesus the authority to move, to rescue those people. As you drive around the streets of Immokalee, and you call for the kingdom of God to come in its power and glory in the homes of the people, that both that you know and that you don't know. Because sometimes you'll just know to pray over a certain house. Sometimes you'll know to pray a certain thing to bind certain devils. If you will listen and commit your life to hearing the Holy Spirit, who is the very power of God on this earth and in you, every believer, who will actually enforce the authority. He's the one that comes when you say, in the name of Jesus, devils, leave those people alone. Then the Holy Spirit, the enforcer, comes and makes them flee. He's the one that, with the power, you're not, but you have the authority. See? Please, young people, find out as quickly as you can. Learn as quickly as you can. There's so much to learn. So little time to do it in. It's exciting. I see so many mighty men of God in you, young men, and your call to be warriors for the kingdom of God. You're not to waste your life on things that don't matter, pursuing things that will just cause your destruction. God is the one that loves you so much. He loves you so much. He wants to meet with you. He wants you to spend time with Him. Young women, He wants to tell you how precious you are to Him, so you won't have to look for any other one but Him. Because you learn to love Him first and let Him love you before you even start believing God for a mate. Trust me, you don't know how to love another human being until you allow Jesus to love you. So, we are so glad to be here.
I want to sit down. This is too good, right?
I want you to find out. I want you to find out as quickly as you can. Because the time is so short and the day is so evil. Who you've been made in Jesus. And walk in the power and glory and the life that He's given you. He made perfect plan for each one of your life where you would be happy. Where you would be the happiest you can't even imagine. The joy that you can have leading the life that He has for you. Walking in the plan that He made for your life. So just keep growing in grace and the knowledge of God. And let Him fulfill His will in you and that work of faith with power. In Jesus' name. And we love you, but not nearly like the Lord loves you. So I'll talk to you later. It's a privilege to meet every one of you. You young men, you never, never. A real man kneels before God.
That's right.
Never be threatened by anything. Be brave, be courageous. You're well able to take the land of Immokalee.
I told you. Did I tell you or what? No, she said, here's the amazing thing. When you see the Lord again changed the message while we were in worship there. And he pulled one off the shelf and put it together with a couple of others. Sue and I haven't talked at all. And you're just going to be amazed. We're going to talk about the authority that you have in his name tonight. And it's my understanding that the youth have to leave around 8:30, 8:45. We're going for the jugular, all right? We're going to go right into it. So I want you to hear what the part he wants you to get before you leave. Now, this has everything to do with the message. You can go ahead and be opening up to Luke chapter 10. Put a marker in Acts 19. This has everything to do with what I started off this morning about God's overall plan. We can go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. I know most of you were here this morning. We can plainly see what God's original plan for man was. First off, he made an earth that was not fallen. The planet that we live on is not the way God designed it. And originally, there were no tornadoes, there were no earthquakes, there were no love bugs, there were no... My God, it takes $3 worth of quarters to get those things off your car. I'm telling you what now. But anyway, there was, the curse was not here. And God intended to have this perfect world, and he made man in his own image, breathed his own nature. I told you this morning, I saw it in vision form, it was the second member of the Godhead, the pre-incarnate Christ. He was the one that breathed life into Adam. And Adam was originally made, we saw it this morning, three times in two verses, in the image of God, he made man. So he intended for mankind to be this upright person, can I say God-like? Now, he's not a God. God did not, it doesn't say he made another God. God, I don't know if you can make another God. But anyway, he didn't intend for Adam to be God in the sense of like another, like a fourth God or something. We don't even have a third God. It's three God, one God, three persons. You start thinking about that too much, your brain leaks right out your left ear. But anyway, he made a man in the image of God. He's actually done that twice. The second one is the second man, the last Adam, who it plainly tells you he is the express image of God. So we went through all that this morning. The overall plan of God, he had a perfect world and a man made in his image to have dominion here. Okay? Now, we went through the fall quickly this morning. Eve was seduced. Maybe before the week's out, we'll get into more about why sin was laid at the feet of Adam. Adam was not really tricked. Adam made a cold-blooded, calculated decision. He made a choice on purpose. That's why sin is laid at his feet. He had to make a choice, and he chose to go with the words of the devil rather than the words of God. So man fell. All right? So then we have all these centuries go by looking towards the day when the Lamb of God would come and shed his blood to provide forgiveness. But forgiveness alone is not enough. God did not want to just forgive man and leave him as this sinful creature no longer made in his image. He wanted man made back into the image that he originally created him. So only, see, the devil thought he had man in a box. He goes, well, they're all fallen. Every generation, these humans produce humans, and every generation is fallen. They've got that sin nature. I like how Dave says it. No savior can come from a spiritually dead gene pool. So the enemy thought, I've got man. There's no way. But see, only God is smart enough to figure out how God himself could become a man. And now we've got a man doesn't have that fallen nature. We've got a man walking the earth. His name is Jesus. And it's like God seeded life again into the earth. Jesus is called the seed. It's life packaged in fallen flesh, but anointed by the Holy Ghost. And through his death, burial, and resurrection, God made it possible in our spirits to once more be recreated. See, Jesus is your Adam, really. If you're born again, He is the last Adam. You were dead as a doornail. You were dead in your spirit. And when you got born again, it's Genesis all over for you. It's Genesis again, the second member of the Godhead. First, you in Him you died on the cross. But it's like, for all practical purposes, He picked up your dead spirit. And He breathed life into you again. You became a child of the living God. And in your spirit, we saw it this morning in Ephesians chapter 4. It says, that new man on the inside of you, after God, meaning in His likeness, is created, and I mean from the get-go, instantly, in righteousness and true holiness. Yes. Not man's idea of holiness, true holiness. There is the real you, look at what I'm saying, the real me, look at the real me is righteous and holy. That's the truth. That's the truth. Well, where's the problem? Well, in the demonstration we did this morning, it's like, yes, we crossed from death to life. Our spirit went from death to life. Trouble is, I would like to have had a big old bag of laundry to drag across there with me, because that represents all the baggage we brought in our soul. Our memories, our hurts, our prejudices, our everything we were taught wrong, everything that we believe wrong that's opposite to what God says. That's the part of us that's got to be renewed. That's the part. See, God did for us what man could not do. The leopard could not change his spots. Man could not change his nature. So God did that part free by grace. I mean, you just have to receive it. And Jesus did all the work and we get all the blessing. I mean, that part's a work. But God is not going to renew your mind for you. He says, no, Romans 12:2 says, be not longer conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. God's not going to do that for you. It's your decision every time whether you're going to read your Bible. It's your decision every time if you're going to pray. It's your decision every time whether you're going to attend church today, not attend. It's up to you. And He left that up to us. Now, Sue was not knowing I was going to be talking on this. Sue was talking about to know the authority that you have in Christ Jesus. Now, we're talking about, let's get real. There's drug addicts in this town that need to be set free. If we get our training right, it will come to the day you can walk through this town, and if your shadow falls on the sick, they'll be healed. You can, in the name of Jesus, you can command devils out of people, and they will be set free from alcoholism. How in the world does that happen? Well, let's look at the Bible let's get some insight onto this. Luke chapter 10. Let's pick it up here in verse 17. Now, this is when Jesus was still on the earth. This is before the cross. None of the people that we're reading about here that He sent out were born again. They are operating under His mantle. All right? Well, His mantle is full. His mantle is 100% complete. So, when they went out in His name, I mean, it's in the fullness of His name because He is who He is. Okay? Now, watch this. So, verse 17 says, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through Thy name. You see that? If we went to Ephesians right now, chapters 1 and 2, we could talk about how Jesus, how God has exalted Him to sit at the right hand of God. He is seated far above all principality and power and might and dominion. He's been given a name which is above every name, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. That's Jesus, and we see Him there. It's the name above every name. And it said, in Your name, when we go in Your name, the devils are subject to us. Now, let's talk about that word subject. If something is subject to you, who is master and who is slave? Let's take a devil. If that devil is subject to me, that means it has to do what I say. Well, now, doesn't that sound good? You're glad you came to church tonight? It says, those devils are subject to me in His name. And so we'd have services like that and get you all pumped up. Yeah, give me a J, give me an E, give me an H. And you go, in the name. And then you go out here in the world and you try and gum up some drug addict, you know, or just any situation. Or let's just say, let's not go that far. The next time a cold, a simple little cold, or a fever. You know, he said, what's that on my lip? Oh, God, it's another cold sore. I rebuke you. You know? And that thing says, bet me. You know, or whatever, and nothing seems to happen, and we go, we don't understand. I mean, I know the word is true. I know what he, said. Much if we don't have authority over a cold sore, am I making my point? But now here, they're not. What's going on now? I want to get a couple more verses before we go on now. So let's read that verse again, and I've got to get this before 8:30 before they have to go. The 70 returned again. So right now we're going. And the 70 returned to joy, saying, "Lord, even the devils are subject to us." No, subject to us through Thy name. And he said unto them, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." Now notice verse 19. "Behold, I give unto you power." That means authority. That's exousia, authority. "To tread on serpents and scorpions." Now get this. "And over all the power," and that's the word dunamis. It means real power. That's where we get the word dynamite from. I'm giving you authority over all the enemy's power. No matter how much power they have, I'm giving you authority over that power. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you. In other words, he's saying they are. But that's not what we really rejoice in, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That's what matters most. Okay? So you'd read verses like this, or we could go with Jesus. "The works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do, because I go unto the Father." And man, you get all pumped up with these verses, and you want to go out and just, man, we're going to, all right, all you drug addicts, line up. We're going to just deliver you. And man, and then a cold sore attacks and we can't get rid of that. Finances, sickness. How about just plain old depression? "I don't feel good today. He loved me yesterday. I'm not even sure if I'm saved today." Don't ask me how I know about that. Now, look at this. Now, look at verse 17. There's no. These guys went out and they said, "The devils are subject unto us through Thy name." And then Jesus plainly says, "I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions." So would you say, just reading that if you go out in the name of Jesus and you come against devils, bless God, they're going to have to obey you? Amen. Amen. Yes. Go to Acts 19. And we're going to look at the contrast between two ministries here. We're going to look at Paul and we're going to look at these other guys. Paul here is in Ephesus, and we're going to pick it up in verse 10. He's in Ephesus here, and he said, "He continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks." And notice it's not just the teaching. God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs and aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Isn't that what we're talking about? The devils are subject to Paul in the name of Jesus. Man, he'd go about doing all these good things, and all these miracles would happen. Now let's look at these other guys. Verse 13. "Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, they took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure or we command you by Jesus," now notice, "whom Paul preaches." Well, they're doing it in the name. This is it not? I mean, who's the Jesus Paul preaches? It's Jesus. So we're coming, and we're coming in the name. And we're coming to adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches. "And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said," now this is enlightening here, "this evil spirit said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know." Who are you? That spirit didn't see Jesus in them, did he? So the man, now Jesus said, "In my name, you go forth in my name, I give you power and authority." This guy, they went in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. You could go in the name of Jesus that Homer preaches, the name of Jesus that Bronk preaches. But see, that's not good enough, is it? "And the man in whom the evil spirit was, he leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded." "And this was known to all the Jews and the Greeks." I'm just trying to show you the contrast. Here we've got Paul. Wherever he goes, sure enough, disease, sickness, devils subject to him in the name of Jesus. These other guys go in the same name, but they don't have that same authority. Now, why not? Go to Ephesians chapter 6. See, this is where the benefit of assimilation of the word comes in. One time I was reading Luke 10, reading that chapter, and this segment in Ephesians just came up on like a split screen in my mind. And I went, okay, when that happens, I know the Lord is correlating something. See, look at verse 12 of Ephesians 6. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, now, isn't that the same? That's just listing a little more officially. That's those same devils, though. That's the same devils that Jesus said, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. I don't care if they're a principality. All means all, doesn't it? So Jesus says, I give you authority. Yet Paul goes out and sure enough, he demonstrates that authority. These others go out in the same name and they can't demonstrate that authority. What in the world is going on? It's the same name. It's the same Jesus. Well, he's talking about this wrestling. Look at verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Now notice he starts listing this armor. Having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I know you've heard much teaching about the armor of God. Positionally, let me ask you, can you earn righteousness, or is righteousness a gift? It's a gift. Paul plainly says all through the book of Romans, righteousness is the gift of God. Positionally, that moment that we demonstrated this morning, when you made that, when Jesus became your Savior and you passed from darkness to light, you went from death to life, you went from sin to righteousness. He who knew no sin was made sin that we could be made the righteousness of God in Him. And see, positionally, that is so true. You are righteous. God's seal of approval goes on you. You are accepted in the Beloved. You are His child. In fact, actually, I like to say you are His favorite the moment you get born again. You know, it's like little JoJo. I mean, man, their eyes just sparkle when any of their grandkids show up. It's the same with us. But that doesn't mean that every little thing that JoJo does is exactly pleasing. And it's fine, you know, it's fine right now. It's okay for JoJo to poop. I don't know how old JoJo is. It's okay at a certain age to poop your little pants. It's okay. We love it. JoJo made a poopy. Look, you call everybody on the phone. JoJo made a poopy. But if JoJo is still doing that at age 30, we expect them to grow up, see? We expect, well, God's, you get born again. You're a newborn child in the kingdom of God. You're accepted. He loves you. Man, we make all kinds of messes. You know, Sue and I, we come into the kingdom just smoking like a freight train. A lot of our strongholds left in the first week. I mean, I'll talk about me, not her. You know, alcoholism left, pornography left. I remember the day it went out, you know, it was all gone. My life motivation left. I couldn't be motivated by money very much. Gotta go fast. Well, I want to get this one part before they leave. Now, but strongholds. There's nobody perfect. Okay? I smoked for the next 20, 30 years after that. Couldn't get rid of that stronghold. Did you know God never kicked me out of the kingdom? He loved me. I was still the righteousness of God in His sight because I didn't earn my righteousness. It was given to me. But what we're talking about is not just having the gift of righteousness. We're talking about a transformation to righteousness itself. He not only gave you the standing of righteousness. When you got that new nature on the inside, He empowered you to walk a righteous life. And that's what we're talking about when we talk about taking that man from the inside and bringing him on the outside. Now, I mentioned this morning, if you have not heard all of those series by Dave Roberson, you don't have all of those foundation stones in your wall of revelation, you need to get them. Now, the one I'm particularly going to talk about tonight is a series called His Truth, Our Foundation. We commonly call them the lying tapes, okay? Dave talks on there about how he had to become a man of truth. See, positionally, you're righteous. Sue and I were righteous that whole time. Now, just so you know, we've both been free of smoking for years. We're not any more righteous today than we were the day we got born again. But I will tell you, we're manifesting more righteousness. We're walking in more of it. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, now. Hallelujah. When I talk about that series, His Truth, Our Foundation, notice here where it says, verse 13, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." Notice the first one, verse 14. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." Did you get that? Now, primarily, loins, that's the reproductive part of us. That's where everything else comes from. And for the Roman soldier who he's drawing this analogy, that belt of truth that they didn't call it truth, that belt that he wore, all the other pieces of the armor fit on that. If you didn't have the truth, you're in trouble, because that belt on, nothing else would fit. Well, for the Christian, truth is your foundation. Father, thy word is truth. So truth has to... So one of the truth is, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus from the moment you get born again. That's truth. It's called positional truth. Now, you may be in your actions pretty unrighteous outfit. Okay? Doesn't take away from the fact, in Jesus, in Christ, you are the righteousness of God. But now, is that enough to go against the enemy? Is it enough? Well, now watch. People are looking at me like, is it? Well, now, let's keep everything in context. One of the things that we all teach, Pastor Dave taught us, the verses mean what they mean in the setting that God gave them. They don't mean anything else. Yes, you're the righteousness of God. If He sends you out like He sent the 12 in the name, trust me, if He sends you, you're going to have the full authority of heaven behind you. But we're talking about where you just go out and you take it upon yourself. Now, watch this. We talk about the having your loins girt about with truth. Back up. Back up in the same chapter. Or actually, in the same letter. The verses I read this morning were chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. "That you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man." Now see there? Positionally, you've got that righteousness. That new guy exists on the inside of you. But what he's talking about, he's talking about bringing that fella from the inside to manifest it to the outside. Which, after God, this new creation in the image of God, after God, he is created in righteousness and true holiness. And look what the first manifestation is that he mentions here. "Wherefore putting away lying." Whoa. Belt of truth. Putting away lying. See, that's when you're not just positionally a person of truth. You've allowed the Holy Spirit to mold you into His image to the point where you become a person who just won't lie anymore. You know why not? He who made you does not lie. In fact, He who made you cannot lie. Dave talks on that tape about how he had to go back and when he reached this certain point in his walk with God, and God says, "Now, if you're going to walk any farther with me, you're going to have to become a man of truth. You're going to have to become a person who does not lie." So Dave would say to us, like us, he says, I would have some success. I would minister and I would do things in the name and I would have some success. But he says, it started dawning on me. Here I'm wanting to go out and conquer in the name. You know, I'm going to go cast out all these devils. I'm going to do all of this. Yet really, I'm going to cast out the devil. Yet, when I was still a liar, I'm in a stronghold, I'm like in a cage called lying that the devil has me in. And I'm in a cage that he's put me in, and I'm going, "I rebuke you." Then he's going, "You rebuke me when you quit lying." You see that? See the difference? Those seven sons of Sceva, he didn't know them. He didn't see any Jesus in them. They're just coming out in the name of Jesus that Bronk preaches. You read it. You know, the name of Jesus. You know? No. You There's a transformation. And the very first thing he talks about here, just like the belt of truth is the very first thing over there, here he says putting away lying. So Dave talks about in that series how he had to, there were some long-standing lies that he had told his wife, Rosalie. He had told her early on in their marriage, or maybe to even get her to marry him, oh, I've never committed that sin, and I've never done that, and I've never done that. Well, at a certain point, he says, I gave her her choice of the finest restaurant in town, you know. It was under the golden arches. And we're sitting there and, you know, having a meal, and finally I had to get around to it. And he says, yeah, you know, I told you that that I never did that. And, well, actually, humana. And she's going, oh my God, you know, you did what? What do you expect? I was just an old sinner, you know. And, you know, this other thing I told you, I never did that over there. What? He said he was so embarrassed, he started walking across the Arkansas River Bridge, you know. She has to pull up in the car, get in. He's so embarrassed, you know. But he had to go through, he had to become that person. First off, he had to confess, repent. These long-standing lies, he says, because what would happen, he couldn't just not deal with it, because what would happen, they'd go on meetings, you know, and the wives would get together with the other wives, and Rosalie would say, oh, my husband never did that. My husband never did that. He knew that this lie had, bye y'all, I'm glad y'all got to stay as long as you could. See you later. He'd say, you know, she would say those things. So this lie, see, lies tend to take on a life of their own. You know, and this thing, he had to deal with it. He says, I'll tell you one thing though, once you go through that, and you have to humble yourself and bare your soul, confess that. He said, it's such a price. You don't ever want to have to do that again. Although nobody's perfect, I'm sure. I mean, even Dave. You know, he's probably had to repent since. See, what this is really talking about, Jesus has paid it all. He has paid the price. We are God's righteousness. That religion always wants you to think you're some slimy dog worm barely going to make it on the back door of heaven. And the truth of the matter is, you are God's favorite. You are His child. We are His hope in the earth. If we don't get this, like Sue said, if we don't learn to pray, if we don't learn how to take on this armor of God, if we don't learn how to go in the name, for God's sake, who is ever going to do it? You know, and I thank God for the day that we walked through the doors of the prayer center and began to hear this message. I mean, I went to church my whole life and they'd say things like, brother, you know, they'd give me a whole hour long message. Humana, a whole hour. And then at the conclusion, the end of the message was, Gary, you need to walk in more love. Oh, thanks a lot. Like I didn't know that because before I came, I know I need to walk. Or you need to have more faith. Gee, whatever. Thank you. Could somebody please tell me how? And that's what I didn't know. And it wasn't until we started hearing Pastor Dave break down these scriptures and say, look, we've been given a teacher. Yes, go to John roughly 14. I have the New Testament in me in images. I don't really have it in chapter and verse. I know what image comes before what image. So I can usually get real close. And y'all have heard me teach this many times, but when Jesus was about to go to the cross and then go unto the Father, he was telling the 12 that followed him that he was leaving and another comforter was going to come in his place. And they didn't really want another comforter. Let's just get real. They didn't want to, what? We love you, Jesus. We've been following you. We don't want another comforter. So he was trying to explain to them the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Because to them it felt like, I mean, they'd given their whole life for 3.5 years to follow this Jesus, and now you're leaving? Wouldn't you feel like an orphan? You know, we had all of our hopes built up, and now you're leaving? Well, how are we going to follow you if you're gone? So he's introducing the ministry of the Holy Spirit here in chapter 14, verse 16. He says, I will pray the Father. He shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. And then this verse, I remember the day that this verse went off in me. In the King James, it's a little blind. It says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, the Greek word there is O-R-P-H-A-N-O-S. He's plainly saying, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I know you feel like that. I know it feels to you because I tell you I'm leaving. But I am sending you another comforter. If you come on down here, look at verse 26. But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send into my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now come over to the next chapter, chapter 15. Look at verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. I didn't get this for years. It took years of praying in the Holy Ghost and meditating this. I finally understand the significance. When he says there that the Holy Spirit shall not speak of himself, what they were afraid of, they didn't want to switch lords. Jesus, we love you. We want to follow you. You've been the one giving us our instructions. You tell us what to do. We go do it. And we see great things happen. People get healed. People get all, miracles happen. Devils come out. We want to follow you. So what he's telling them, look, when this comforter comes, he's not going to speak on his own authority. He has not come to replace my lordship. What he hears, that's what he's going to tell you. He said, the Holy Spirit, he's omnipresent. He's with the Lord at every moment. He's with every believer at every moment. He said, he's not coming to replace my lordship. He is coming to bring you my lordship. He says, you're still going to be following me. You're going to get instructions from me. But now, instead of it coming from my physical mouth to your physical ear, you're going to hear my voice in your spirit. You're going to hear by the way of this Holy Spirit. He is going to hear me, and he is going to reveal my plans to you. You're going to still get your assignments from me. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm coming to you as your Lord, but I'm coming this time by way of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that good stuff? And then here where he says he's going to take of mine and show it unto you. Boy, I wonder what all that would be. Well, how about everything? Because it says, all things that the Father has are mine. Now we're coming into Hebrews 12:2 again. See, we've been operating, and we've had a lot of help from religion, to be honest. We've been operating as sharecroppers in the kingdom of God. We've been operating as farmers in the kingdom of God. We've had a sowing and reaping mentality. And there's truth in all of those things. But we have not operated as heir mentality. We've not operated as with the thinking like, see, John 17 will get you thrown out of most churches. When you say that the Father loves you, I can't imagine going into the church I grew up in. I got a few things to tell you. Hello, my name's Gary Carpenter. Just want you to know the Father loves me just as much as he loves Jesus. Just want you to know everything that Jesus has belongs to me. Everything Jesus can do, I can do in his name. I done run out of town on a rail, I'm telling you right now. You know, religion, it beats you down. It makes you think you're so just nothing. And the truth of the matter is, you have been made a joint heir with Christ. That's why he says here, the Holy Spirit, he's going to take of mine. He's going to show it unto you. Then he plainly tells you, all that the Father has is mine. We talked about the prodigal son this morning. Remember the prodigal son? He returned to his father's house. He wasn't just lost. The Father says, this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now he's found. And the son thought he had squandered all of his inheritance. Oh, the Father had a lot more for him than he thought. He says, no, you put a ring on his finger, put sandals on his shoe, put a robe, kill the fatted calf, go to Rib City, bring the... Anyway. The Father had vast inheritance. See, in that son, he was coming with a religious mentality. Just treat me like one of your hired servants. Boy, the Father wouldn't have none of that. You're not my servant. You are my son. Let's have a party. All that I have. See, that elder son, the religious guy, the religious one, he wasn't happy. He said, well, this guy, he went out and he squandered your inheritance. He said, he wouldn't even call him his brother. He said, your son. Your son. That's religion. They're not happy about the sinners that get saved. He says, you never killed a fatted calf for me. And that son didn't know his father at all. The father had to tell him. He said, son, all that I've ever had, all that I have, belongs to you. See, this son, he didn't break relationship like the other one did, but he had no fellowship with the father. He didn't know his father at all. And sadly, we've got the churches in around the world are full of people that are truly have a relationship. They're born again. It's like that. Yes, they're there and they're doing something in the kingdom, but they have no real fellowship with him. They have no. I have a series called The Serving Son that's based on that very parable. If you've never heard it, I really recommend it to you. You know, in that parable, what's the cure for that? What would be the cure for the elder son? We always talk about the prodigal. But while the prodigal was gone, what if that elder would have said, you know, I never do spend. I'm always out here in the fields. I'm working for daddy. I don't ever spend any time with daddy. And so he goes by and he stops by the Krispy Kreme donut shop on the way. And stops by Starbucks and gets a whole thermos of good coffee, you know. And he comes into the daddy's house and he says, Dad, you and I just don't ever spend any time together. What if we just sat down here and talked? What's on your heart, Dad? You know, they wouldn't be talking very long. And that elder son would notice that every now and then they're sitting there at the dining table having little Starbucks, you know, Krispy Kreme. But he's talking to his daddy, but he'd notice every now and then the daddy, he'd glance out the window looking toward that front road, you know, that road that goes out in front of the house. And they'd be talking a while, and every now and then he'd notice daddy looking out the window again. Finally, he said, Daddy, what you looking for? I noticed you keep glancing, looking down the road leading to the house. He said, well, I miss your brother. I'm hoping for the day that maybe he'll come back home. He'd find out real quick that high on daddy's priority was his love for the lost son. In fellowship, he'd go, Dad, I didn't know you felt like that. Maybe this work I've been doing for you is not really what's near to your heart. Would you like for me to go see if I can find him? What would the father say? You'd be willing to do that? To abandon the work you've got and go to seek and save that which is lost? Son, not only would I like it, if you need anything, if you need finances, if you need help, if you need, I've got servants, I've got equipment. I mean, if there's anything you need, you let me know. We would call that prayer. You let me know what things soever you desire when you pray. You believe I will supply every need because nothing is on my heart more than to seek and save the lost. Fellowship with the Father. Fellowship. It would have solved the whole thing. It would have solved the whole thing. And what the church is missing more than anything else is fellowship with the Father. I'm going to say to you again, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. No man understands him. Howbeit in the Spirit, he is speaking mysteries. You're never going to have... I mean, I love the fellowship in his word, but Bronk, you've read it too. Did you find the book of Gary? Did you find where it says in May 2012, Gary, thou shalt be in Immokalee? It's not there. How do I find out? How do I not just do stuff? I've got to spend time in fellowship with the Father. I got to find out for myself what he wants. We have invitations, Sue and I, at this stage. We could make a few phone calls and just let people know we're available again. He didn't let us travel for like 7 years. People got tired of asking us because I kept saying no. I could make a few phone calls and let them know that we're available again. We've got invitations right now to Germany, to Brazil, to Ireland, to Hawaii, to all these different. We could on our own. Australia, New Zealand, on our own, we could be booked continually. Well, that I don't know. That would be Gary and Sue's plan. Trust me, we're sick of Gary and Sue's plan. We don't want any more Gary and Sue plans, okay? We want his plan. I mean, I'm happy to go anywhere as long as it's him. See? But you're not going to find that out without fellowship. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for this other comforter. If we didn't have him, if Jesus was still here in his physical body with a headquarters in Jerusalem, how long would that waiting line be for you to get an audience with him? See, it had to be some other way. And God figured this all out before email. This is even quicker and faster and more reliable than email. You know, I mean, the server can go down, but the Holy Ghost don't go down. See? And he figured out how we could all get our emails from Jesus on a daily, continual basis. He figured it out all those years ago. All this other stuff is vague imitations of what he already has. You can get your download. You can get your instructions from him and not be guessing. And it's the same Lord. You have the same Lord that Peter and that Paul had. I used to get so jealous of the 12. I'd go, this is not fair. Peter got to sit around the campfires and listen to you teach. And man, I can't imagine what those conversations... And if he had a question, he could raise his hand and you'd answer his question. This is not fair. You know, I love the book, but it's just not the same Jesus as having you. It's not fair that I don't have that opportunity like they had. Then you get quiet. See, don't ever talk like that to God. You know, you get quiet and he starts talking back to you and he says, well, he says, you have the same teacher as the Apostle Paul. And Paul came to the place where he knew me better than Peter, even though Paul never heard me teach himself. Peter was the one. He's the one that got in trouble. Paul had to go and correct him. Y'all remember? Well, how could Paul do that if he didn't know the Lord better? And he says, you have the same teacher as the Apostle Paul. Now, what were you saying? Just a moment, God. We got the same teacher the Apostle Paul had. Oh, my God. These truths begin to set us free. Now, let's get back to the authority in the name of Jesus. Yes, sir. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Hallelujah. Y'all getting anything out of this? I love all of this. See, and everything Sue said is so the heart of God. You can feel the heart of God for this city. He so wants us to get this, but He's tired of us going out and failing because we got little snippets of the Word. Now, in His name, I have all authority and all power, but we haven't spent any time in transformation. We have not spent any time in prayer and fasting, hardly at all. We haven't spent time in His Word. Then we see, and that's just that's the easy part if you want to know the truth of it. The hard part is the confessing that you're a liar. Doing the kind of things that I said that Dave had to do on those tapes. That's the hard part, facing yourself. And then dealing with it, repenting of it, letting the Lord cleanse you of it. Which, don't get me wrong, you're already cleansed by the blood. The blood's enough. We're not talking about going to heaven here. We're talking about walking in authority and walking in power. Walking as He walked. Talking as He talked. And having the same authority that He had. Having that same results. That's what He wants. Where did I say go? I said go somewhere. Ephesians is a good place to go. Ephesians chapter 2. Because we positionally we are there. Galatians, Ephesians, there it is, chapter 2. See, look. Talking about, let's start in chapter 1. Talking about Christ. We'll start the prayer here. Verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory... This is Ephesians 1:17. May give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Boy, does the church need this. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ. Now he starts talking about Him, see? And we don't have any trouble with this part because we so esteem Christ. We know He deserves this, don't we? He raised Him from the dead, set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above, not just above, I like this, far above, all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Will that get it done? I'd say that ought to get her done right there. And not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and He hath put a few things under His feet. He hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that fills all in all. And we go, yeah, Jesus, yes, we don't have any trouble believing that. Your name is above every name. You're above every, you know. And but then down here it says, verse 5 of chapter 2, it says, and or verse 4, but God, which is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now, Jesus, it plainly says, seated above all power, all dominion, every name that is named. And then it says, we're seated in exactly that same place. And our mind goes, then what's the problem? What's the problem? The problem is we go out like the seven sons of Sceva. We go out, you know, not spending any time in transformation and renewal. And that devil goes, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Bronk, I know. Homer, yeah, I know Homer. Who are you? You know? See? We forget that the letter's not over in chapter 2. The same Paul, at the end of the... He starts saying, now take off. You got to put away the old man. Put on the new man. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. He's talking about change. He's talking about not staying the same. Then at the end of it, he says, now when you go out to wrestle with these guys, when you go out to do warfare. And I'll be honest with you, the church at large has taken that to be a defensive posture. When you've done all to stand. We have the attitude like, oh, here's the little church huddled in fear. We're just trying to make it through life without a lot of trouble. And, oh, the devil's against me. He's attacking me on the right and he's attacking me on the left. That's not the imagery that's being portrayed here. Notice if we back up just a little bit in chapter 6, it says, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, what's the reference there? He's talking about Joshua and Caleb. He's talking about the group that came in to possess the land. It wasn't Israel huddled together against the Canaanites. It was Israel come to drive the Canaanites out. And that's that same analogy. We're all like, oh, the devil's after me. And it's supposed to be the opposite. The children of God come and it's the devils that are scared in Immokalee. We've come to drive the devils out of this town. This town belongs to Jesus. We've come to possess the land. God has given us Immokalee. In Jesus' name, we've come to cast out devils, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. And the devil should be the one shaking every night going, oh, it's almost dawn. The Christians are going to wake up. How many blind eyes are going to open today? How many healed bodies are there going to be today? How many of the works of the devil are they going to undo? How many saved? How many filled with the Holy Ghost? Oh, it's the devil. The Christians are attacking. The Christians are attacking. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're not going to do that unless we put on the whole armor of God. Now, He's given you all of that free positionally. That breastplate of righteousness is yours. But I had positionally that breastplate of righteousness for all those years I was smoking. And we still saw God do miracles. We saw good things happen. We saw cancer healed. We saw people delivered from alcoholism. We saw all kinds of things. But then I could tell you about all the other ones that we prayed for that it didn't happen. But I know if Jesus was there in His fullness, it would happen. So what do you do? You don't start making some false doctrine like, This is what's happened over the years based on that. They go, well, see there, it's just not His will to heal them all. You can't find that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That is not the case. When the disciples, these same ones that He's teaching, later on they tried to cast the devil out of that epileptic boy. Remember? And lunatic, might have been epilepsy, but it had manifestations. He says, throw him on the ground, he'd gnash at his teeth, foam at the mouth. Throw him in the water. And it affected them. You know, they're going, oh, God. You know? And they had cast out devils and healed the sick. They did everything they did. I'm sure they did every Pentecostal thing we've ever seen. They shouted, they jumped, they spit, they used the name. They did everything. Everything in the world they knew to do. But it wouldn't come out. And then later on, Jesus went, this is how Jesus, well, I know you tried really well. Yeah, you guys gave it your best. Let me get you. Is that what he did? He says, how is it that you have no faith? You bring him here to me. And in short order, that devil is gone. Now, they didn't ask publicly. It says later when they were alone. Why didn't it come out when we prayed? And I know they were hoping for some deep calleth unto deep, you know. Well, this particular devil started in the land of Enos or something. He just goes right for the jugular. He says, it's because of your unbelief. What? It's because of your unbelief. It's just unbelief is the problem. Then he says the cure for unbelief, which nobody likes to hear much. This kind of cometh out. Now, he's not talking about... it's not that kind of devil. He already said we have authority over all devils. No, this kind of unbelief. It comes out by prayer and by... I have a hard time with that word. It's the F word, you know. Fasting. Got you, didn't I? Yeah, okay. Prayer and fasting. You mean that still applies? I'm the righteousness of God, Gary. Don't be telling me to do no fasting. That works. That's transformation. That's the part of bringing that new man, that new creature on the outside to take dominion over this flesh. Where the new Lord rises up, the real you that's made in the image of Christ. He begins crawling his way. Not crawling. He comes climbing up out of you. Start take dominion over what? You. I want to have dominion over devils. And Jesus is going, I want to have dominion over you. Oh. You're going to be a person that doesn't lie. What? You're going to be a person that doesn't steal. What? You're going to be a person that this and that. That's all of that armor. The breastplate of righteousness. The shield of faith. The helmet of salvation. That's renewing the mind. Previews of coming attractions. Before this week is out, you're going to get some help in that. We're going to do our warfare. Even after this week, this very week. When you go to whatever the warfare is, whatever he's called you to do, a little more uprightly, you're going to go to war as a son of the living God. Not as a sharecropper with a plow, but as a son with a shield and a sword. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.